Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Gotts, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the number one podcast in the world. We're bigger than Oprah. I mean, how about that? Thank you for doing that. We're presented by DraftKings. We're going to have Pat Connaughton on in just a minute here. Mikey A is out. He is dealing with some stuff. He's fine, but Mikey A is out. Billy Gill is sitting in. We appreciate Billy sitting in, whenever Mikey A is absent from the proceedings. We're going to have a surprise here for Pat Connaughton, who just won an NBA title for the Milwaukee Bucks. What an interesting story. And Connaughton was a big part of those teams. We had Bobby Portis on the show with me and Dan earlier this week. So I'm really looking, and he was great. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with Pat Connaughton. Really, what I want to know is if PJ Tucker has stopped drinking since they won the NBA championship. That guy was hammered on parade day. He really was. So Billy Gill is in for Mikey A. And we found out. Now, this has been an interesting development here on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts, that someone on our staff has a very close, good relationship with Pat Connaughton of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Connaughton's story is interesting. Connaughton turned down a contract from the Yankees to attend Notre Dame. How many people would do that? I mean, seriously, he turned down Kish to go to Notre Dame. I mean, unbelievable. And then he turned himself into quite a basketball player who just won an NBA championship less than a week ago with the Milwaukee Bucks. But someone on our staff revealed to us that they are very, very friendly with Pat Connaughton. In fact, I think that person called him Connie. How about that? What a great nickname. So we will reveal that person to you, the audience, and we will surprise Pat Connaughton with a very, very good friend of his. We will spring that on him during this interview. So without any further ado, let's get right to it. That was a good tease. That was a good setup. We got a surprise for Pat Connaughton. Let's bring him on right now. Stu Gotts here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. You're a world-class baseball player, an NBA champion, and you also have a real estate fucking company. Like, I'm conditioned to not like you, Pat Connaughton. You're good at three things, okay? I'm not good at anything, all right?
Hey, you know what? I got a foundation, too, that helps people who's not good at anything become good at something, so I can help you all whenever you need.
That is well played by you. I actually, I have a friend that I'm going to bring into the Zoom right now, a friend of yours. It's a surprise to you, Pat Connaughton, for winning an NBA championship. We're going to bring her in. We're going to bring her in right now. Someone I think you know very, very well. So, Billy, bring her in.
There it is. Oh, hey. Jess, what's good? I'm not going to lie to you. I was thinking about saying, regardless of who it was, I don't know that person. I don't know who that is.
That would have been really funny. You should have done that.
Did that make you happy? Seeing Jess's face, does it make you happy?
Of course. Of course. Nothing's better than seeing Jess's face, except That's for sometimes lie. Her sarcastic humor.
You just won an NBA title, though. Like, that was better.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for you guys that you have to put up with her on a somewhat daily basis, but winning the NBA title was slightly better than seeing the transfer from Clemson that tries to claim she's a Notre Dame diehard through and through.
Okay.
Billy, I can't decide what I want more, a great story about Smetty or a great college story about Connaughton from Smetty. I can't decide what I want more, Billy.
I feel like they should each do one and then decide which one's better.
Smetty, do you have a story of Pat Connaughton that you could share where he won't end your friendship?
Honestly, I'll try to think of one, but I don't know if I can. Pat was always like very focused on athletics in college. He didn't really do anything too crazy.
All right. Connaughton, do you have a story about Smetty? I call her Smetty, by the way. That will embarrass her in front of our entire audience.
I don't think so. I mean, I know she was a heartbreaker in college, so that was probably not surprising to any of the listeners, but one of my best friends was unfortunately a casualty of that. Other than that, that's really all I got.
What'd she do to him?
What didn't she do to him is probably a better question.
How is he now? Did he recover fully?
Yeah, he's on the mend. I mean, you know, he worked for a bike company for a while, was biking around the United States to try to work off a little bit of anger and distress. But aside from that, I think he's back on his feet a little bit, and he's a great kid, funny kid, one of my good buddies. So, you know, we helped him through it. The real friends were there for him in the long run.
Smetty, you have nothing to say?
I actually don't know which friend you're talking about.
Wow. There are that many?
I think I do. Hey. I'll text you on the side, Pat.
Hey, I was being nice. You just threw your own self under the damn bus.
Connaughton, how much sleep have you gotten since you won an NBA championship?
I got a lot last night, if that helps. Today's kind of the day that I've, you know, tried to get my life back in order. I thought, what better way to do it than to come on this podcast? But I'd say in total, let's say it's been 6 days. In normal time, I'd probably get right around 10 hours a night. So that'd be 60 hours. I'd say I'd probably got about 24.
Okay. Any drinking? How much drinking?
Oh, Jess, you want to answer this question?
I would guess not very much drinking.
Yeah, no, not very much drinking. I'm goofy enough as it is. I can have enough fun without the alcohol in my system, let's just say.
The only Irish person at Notre Dame who doesn't drink a ton.
It's a shock. Like, it's the most shocking revelation in the history of stupidity that a man named Patrick Connaughton, who went to Notre Dame, doesn't drink. It's crazy, Pat.
Yeah, an Irish guy from Boston who went to Notre Dame. I'm not sure many people know that, actually. So that could be breaking news here on stupidity. But who drank the most? I mean, that's got to be somewhat of an obvious answer based off if any of you watched the parade.
PJ Tucker.
That's my guy. It's my guy. I told him, hey, look, you drink for both of us. He said, done.
He's a crazy person, right, PJ Tucker?
Yeah, he's one of the best. I mean, he likes to have fun. He's a great locker room guy. He's obviously tough as nails on the floor. I can't say enough good things about PJ Tucker. That's my guy. He knows it. You know, I'd say the city of Milwaukee knows it, but he definitely enjoys himself, and he should. He's an NBA champ.
What's Giannis been like since he's won the title? Like, he's like the social media posts have been fantastic. But I, like, for me, it's, I have a hard time seeing Giannis like getting hammered. He seems too responsible for that, but he seems to be having fun, you know?
Yeah, no, I think my guess is he's gone to Chick-fil-A about 6 or 7 times, probably eating 50 McNuggets every single time, 50 mini nuggets, whatever the heck they're called over there. But
chicken minis, yeah.
Yeah, chicken minis. But Giannis is one of the best. I think it's cool because the world doesn't necessarily get to see his personality like we do all the time. And him and I have great banter because of the amount of times we've lifted together, worked out together, et cetera. But it's awesome that the world gets to see his personality a little bit more after, you know, he accomplishes something. I'd say that's probably more or less his version of going crazy.
Do you believe that he ate those 50 chicken minis? Because we were talking about this earlier in the week, and Jess claims that she could eat 1,000 of them at a tailgate. And we told her that's impossible. There's no way you can eat 1,000 of those. But do you believe that he just ate 50 by himself all at once?
Yeah, I actually do. I mean, Giannis is one of those guys that he can eat. And yeah, he's got a frame built for it. We've seen his transformation since his rookie year. I think it's probably pretty reasonable to say he took down 50 minis and maybe a, you know, vanilla shake or something.
Do you believe Jess can eat 1,000 of them? Because it seems impossible, just mathematically.
At a tailgate, Billy.
Oh, at a tailgate.
Are you,
I'm sorry.
Are you tailgating for a month, Jess?
Well, sometimes, yes. But Pat, you've seen me at a tailgate, right? Like, I kind of turn into an animal. I feel like I could easily put down 1,000 nuggets during a tailgate.
1,000's a lot. I mean, I'd like to see it. I mean, if we can get a Stupidity podcast where we get to see Jess try to eat as many nuggets as she can in one sitting and then just multiply that by a month, I think that would be a pretty interesting one.
Pat, if I make that happen, will you join us and do play-by-play of Smitty eating these the minis?
Oh, no doubt. I'll be back on the show in a heartbeat if that's the case.
I want to go back to because you had a choice to make between baseball and basketball. And so, and you had an offer from the New York Yankees, and you passed up that offer to attend Notre Dame. And I'm just like, why? I don't think most people would have made that decision. Why'd you make that decision?
For me, I kind of looked at it from two different angles. I had a really good relationship with the baseball coach at Notre Dame. He was actually the baseball coach at Boston College, and he offered me a scholarship my freshman year. He was really one of the only baseball coaches to stick with me when I said, hey, I want to give this basketball thing a try. Everyone else kind of looked at me like I had six heads, or looked at me like they look at Jess when she says she can eat 1,000, you know, chicken minis. And so it was just something I felt obligated to. If the Yankees wanted me then, if I progressed the way I should and I was able to do it on the campus of Notre Dame, where obviously both sports are 17 yards away from each other, and the baseball coaches were so great in helping me progress, then they'd want me 3 years later. And I think I wanted to play high level college basketball, and the Yankees were willing to think about letting me do the basketball baseball thing, but I just thought it would have been harder to pull off than it would have been to play two sports in on one college campus.
Did your family think you were nuts at the time?
My dad thought I was a little bit nuts. My dad was for a minute there saying, you know, I don't know if I'm a bad parent for, or fiscally irresponsible for allowing you to make this decision. But he definitely also then made the comment, well, I don't have to pay for college either, so you do what you want to do.
I want to go back. Smitty sent me a video of you throwing a first pitch. Jess, why don't you go ahead and take it from here? Because I responded to Jess saying, there's no way that guy was good at baseball at one point. That pitch would have went over Giannis's head, man. But Smitty was doing sideline for it. So Jess, go ahead, take it from there.
Well, you almost drilled your social media coordinator in the head, right? It was a little errant pitch. Although I found out since that that is actually what you were known for as a pitcher. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, our social media girl was a stud. She didn't move an inch. She didn't even flinch. I mean, I got the video footage that didn't really get released of her holding the camera, and the camera doesn't move. The ball goes right by it, like had to be six inches away. And she didn't move a muscle, so credit to her. As far as my pitching prowess, yeah, I was known to be what they call wildly effective. I remember, you know, two of my best games ever in college. One of them was at St. John's University. It was a no-hitter through four innings before we got rained out. But there were a few warm-up pitches before innings that hit the backstop and came back to me. The first game against Clemson at the new stadium my junior year before I got drafted, I went 8 1/3 innings, allowed one run. We won 2-1 while walking nine guys. So I had to find my way out of some jams. I was not the most accurate of pitchers until I got to, you know, that summer of professional baseball where they kind of taught me the rhythm of it. And I was able to, you know, focus on it for, a month and a half span. But that pitch was very much a description of how my pitching career has gone. And I've taken flack for that pitch to this day. And I'm sure I was talking to Christian Yelich the other day, and he said that now that we won the championship, he'd try to set up a redemption first pitch tour at some point.
Was it before or after that pitch? Did the Orioles offer you $400,000+ on a minor league contract?
It was before. And if we're being honest, I actually pitched really well for the Aberdeen Ironbirds, their minor league team, that summer. After that contract, I'm pretty sure they threw me on a restricted list and said, yeah, just stick with the basketball thing for now. We'll report back here in a few years.
What do you imagine you would have been like as a major league pitcher? Like, what do you imagine you could have been?
I think I could have been pretty good. I mean, you know, baseball was something I did a lot because I was good. I never really had put a lot of time, energy, and effort into it until I got to college, until I, you know, played pro for that, you know, month and a half in the summer. I could throw hard. I had a lot of movement on my fastball, which everyone in, you know, the Orioles organization was a huge fan of, which I guess not many people knew prior to. I don't even think I knew. And, you know, my second best pitch was a changeup. And I grew up in Boston watching Pedro Martinez work with a fastball changeup his entire career. I'm not saying I would be Pedro Martinez, but, you know, I think I had, you know, a pretty high ceiling in baseball, a much higher one than I did in basketball.
How cool would it be, though, if you and Trey Mancini were both on the Orioles right now kicking ass?
Oh, it'd be awesome. Trey's my guy. I was just pumped that he was able to, you know, compete in the Home Run Derby. I was excited that he brought our old college coach, who still coaches at Notre Dame, Chuck Restano, to pitch for him. I thought that was a really cool moment.
But there's no way, like, anything you would achieve in baseball would not compare to what you just achieved in basketball, right? Like, you made the right decision, Pat.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I appreciate that. I think, you know, the combination of, you know, choosing the sport no one thought I should choose, doing it because I believed in myself, my inner circle kind of believed in me, and then going through the path that I did, didn't play much my first year, kind of buckled down, looked myself in the mirror and said, you know, I got to get better I got to be an NBA shooting guard. You know, I was able to get away with being a small forward in college, but I had to work a little bit on my athleticism. I had to work on my ball handling, my shooting, playmaking, consistency. And I think for me, that was the most gratifying part about getting to this point where, you know, I was a, you know, 30 minute a night rotational big piece of an NBA championship winning team.
Did you guys ever doubt along the way? It was a crazy ride, man. You had the, you know, the series against the Nets. Did you guys doubt at all?
You know, I don't think any of us ever doubted, but I think the biggest difference that I saw in this team compared to our teams in years past, you know, my first 2 years here, we had the best record in the NBA during the regular season. There was one year we were on pace to win 70 games. The other year we won 60 some games. And I think, you know, we went 10-1 in our first 11 playoff games, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, but we never faced a lot of adversity. And I think the biggest difference that I saw from this group this year was how we handled adversity when it did hit in years past. Adversity hit in the Eastern Conference Finals versus the Raptors. We lost four straight. Adversity hit against Miami in the second round. You know, we lost that series 4-1. And I think this year when adversity hit, whether it was being down 2-0 to the Brooklyn Nets, who a lot of people had as, you know, championship favorites, whether it be losing the first game to Atlanta or going down 0-2 in the, you know, finals, we came together more when adversity hit. No one tried to do it individually. We tried to do it collectively. We tried to, you know, that's what a championship team does.
I asked your teammate Bobby Portis this, and I'm going to ask you. When Giannis, after winning the title, when he's talking about staying together and doing it, you know, for the team that you were drafted by, in a city that you were drafted to, I felt like he was speaking directly to Kevin Durant. Do you?
well, if we're being completely honest, I think he could have been speaking to a lot of people with the way that the NBA is now. I saw someone sent me something the other day about James Harden going off on how it doesn't take any skill to do what Giannis does. And then Giannis saying, well, I, you know, staying in where I am and doing it with the team I got drafted by, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm sure there were a few people he was talking to on that, but it is true. I mean, in today's NBA, I'd even double down and say, look at what he did when he got hurt. You know, he got hurt for those two games in the East Conference Finals. He was still present. He was on the bench. He was up and cheering. He was pulling guys aside individually. He was addressing the team collectively before games. Like, he was being a leader as an MVP, two-time MVP, finals MVP, champion. There's not a lot of superstars in today's NBA that do that. You know, you see guys in boxes. You see guys away from the team as they're trying to get healthy. Giannis, you know, rocks to the beat of his own drum set.
What was more important to your guys' success? Because we were talking about this while you guys were making your run. Was it the addition of Jrue Holiday or Chris Middleton really stepping up and becoming just an amazing – he was already good, became a great player during this postseason run?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think I'm going to say Jrue, but the reason I'm going to say Jrue is because I think Chris Middleton just hadn't gotten enough credit for what he does on a nightly basis. I don't think the world had seen it. Everyone knew he was a good player. Everyone knew he was an all-star last year. I thought he should have been an all-star this year with the condensed season. And I guess he got off to a kind of rough start from what I heard. But, you know, Chris Middleton, that's what he does. He's a great secondary player to Giannis. He's been that for the 3 years that I've been here and for a much longer amount of time. It's just now the world was able to see it on the biggest stage. But I think the addition of Drew and what he brings to the table offensively and defensively, you know, I think his defense is really underrated. I think his control on the offensive end is really underrated. He's not just a guy that's going to score you 20, 25, 30 points a game, but he's going to make the right plays, going to make plays for other guys. And then he's a huge locker room guy. You know, he's one of the best teammates that I've had, and the things he does off the court are as impressive as the things he does on the court.
So I surprised you here on the Zoom with Jess, and I'm thinking next time, not this time, because I know you got to run, but next time we have you on, there will be a next time, you surprise me with Giannis. We can make that happen, right? We can
do that. Wait, so are you telling me Jess and Giannis are of equal surprise stature? Are you putting Jess in that category of a two-time
MVP? Are you saying we're not, Pat? I don't know. I mean, I think I'm pretty important. Clearly, you were surprised.
Listen, if you don't want Jess, I can get you a Golic. Is that work for you? A Golic.
Whoa.
Hey, Golic might have a prettier face.
I can't argue with that.
Wow. All right, we'll let you out of here, Pat. On that note, congratulations to you, man. What a great run. What a great time in your life. So congratulations on all your success, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me on. Jess, great seeing you. And I'll be back for that 1,000 count chicken minis here at some point.
I'm going to hit you with a side text, Pat. We need to follow up about this conversation, I think.
Yeah. But when you come back, make sure you bring Giannis. Giannis wants to witness that, okay?
Yeah, true. I'll bring Giannis for that. If you can guarantee that's going to happen, I'll bring Giannis for that.
Listen, I can guarantee it's going to happen. I can guarantee a Golic. That's about it. That's all I can give you, okay? And maybe Kyle Rudolph, and that's about it, all right?
All right. We like those people.
Okay. Right, Pat, congratulations, man. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks. No problem. See ya.
Lot of fun there with Pat Connaughton. We appreciate him coming on, and we can't wait until his next appearance when I bring on a Golic and he brings on Giannis. How about that? And how about Smetty? I mean, you gotta love Smetty, a heartbreaker at Notre Dame and friends with Pat Connaughton. You gotta love it. I mean, she is the absolute best. Sugats! Supodity! Thanks again to Pat Connaughton, who has now one more ring than the great Chris Paul. Stupidity! Stupidity! Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.